saw this story over the weekend, just kind of in passing. Saw a statement from the Wolves. Of course, if you've been losing for 12 years and haven't made the playoffs, when it's mathematically more difficult to miss the playoffs than make the playoffs, yep. and you've managed to do that for 12 years, mm-hmm. of course, the next step is irritate your fans by preventing them from selling their own tickets the way they want to on the secondary market.
Because you're convinced that your product is still worth something, right. even though your fans might disagree.
So let's bring in our buddy Jeff O'Brien from Lohman Abdo Law Firm. And Jeff, we're hoping you can help us sort this out, this lawsuit between the Wolves and a handful of season ticket holders. What's going on, man?
Well, guys, I have the complaint right in front of me here, and it's actually a pretty entertaining read. I mean, there's a line in here that starts this, because the Timberwolves perform so poorly, plaintiffs and class members have been left holding the bag since reasonable market purchasers have no interest in paying premium prices for a team mired at the bottom of the conference yeah. standings with no hopes of making the NBA playoffs.
Yes. All accurate so far.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if the allegations are true in this, it doesn't make the Timberwolves look very good. I mean, what the complaint alleges is, and it's a class action, it's styled as a class action, and it's brought on behalf of a couple of plaintiffs. There's a corporation, and then there's an individual. So you have accounts for corporate season ticket holders and individual season ticket holders. And what they're complaining about is that the Timberwolves have introduced this flash seats system mm-hmm. that makes it extremely difficult for season ticket holders who, for whatever reason, are looking to, you know, sell their tickets to a particular game and make any of their money back. It's, you know, they have to register online as part of this. They have, you know, they can disclose all sorts of personal data.
Yep.
And then there's a minimum selling price. So, you know, there's an example in the complaint that if you have two tickets at $50 each and you want to sell, you find out that day that you can't go to the game and you want to sell them for $25, the way the flash seats works, it doesn't allow that. So instead of just being out, you know, $25 per ticket, you're out $50 per ticket. It's a little bit ridiculous when you hear it, when you read it. And like I said, this is one side of the story that, you know, the Timberwolves have yet to answer the complaint. They've issued the press release, though they haven't really commented.
Yeah.
But you know, it's certainly an interesting case.
So Jeff, is this as simple as could the Wolves try and go to these people and say, all right, we'll change our system, or are we now to a point once this is filed that the Wolves, even if they change their system, might be liable for compensation to these people, these poor people who couldn't sell their tickets because they tried to sell them for $5 a piece and were told there's a floor on that, you can't do that?
Yeah, Jeb, there's a possibility that there still could be some compensation required to be paid. You know, it's a class action, and class actions have a high rate of settlement. You know, there's a long process to do these. You know, you have to have them, you know, certified as a class, that you have a number of possible complainants that all have similar claims, and it would be cumbersome to have all of them filing lawsuits and clogging up the court, so we're going to do it this way. But my guess is if the court certifies the class, I think the Timberwolves are going to have a high interest in, number one, changing this policy as part of a settlement, and number two, there may be some sort of some monetary compensation to the class members, and it, you know, it could be a small amount, but it's, you know, the genie's already out of the bottle at this point. It obviously, if it got this far, there were complaints, you know, lobbied against the organization, and they didn't respond to them, and that's why it's in court.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't even realize until maybe a month ago. I have a friend who, kind of like you just said, last minute gave me his tickets. Just said, just take my tickets, but you have to download this app. It's the Flash Seats app.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was very confused. I walked in at game time. I'm standing in the front lobby at Target Center trying to get reception so I can download this app so I can scan my phone and all these things. And you can't even. I'm on StubHub right now. This is an exclusive deal. You can't even go on. There's a game. Is that tonight against the San Antonio Spurs? Zero tickets available on StubHub.
Yep,
you can get parking
yep.
passes, but you can't get actual tickets.
Yep, and so that is part of the complaints is addressed in there, that it makes it impossible to sell it on secondary markets such as StubHub or Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And so it's there's a number of different counts here, consumer fraud, because they said this policy was announced after a lot of season ticket holders had renewed.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, deceptive trade practices, unfair trade practices. So it's a consumer lawsuit. You know, these season ticket holders pay a lot of money. I mean, the one company that's a plaintiff paid $32,000 for their tickets. The other individual paid $21,000.
They're crazy too, by the way, Jeff.
You know, that's a good point. There's an argument here. The defense might be assumption of the risk. If you're going to buy season tickets to the Timberwolves, you may have a hard time unloading them.
If I'm the Wolves, I argue a sanity case against these people. I say, you're all crazy.
There you go.
You're paying this much for our product? You're nuts.
John, we call that contributory negligence in the legal world.
See, I knew there'd be a term for it. Thank you.
Jeff O'Brien is our guest here. He is from Lohman Abdul Law Firm, and he keeps us in line and explains and fills in the gaps with these legal matters that we can't comprehend ourselves. And one thing that popped up over a week ago now, we did most of this story from Fort Myers. The Gopher basketball team, the Kevin Dorsey video, and there's so many different angles here. We have to find out at some point, did someone steal the phone? Did someone else post the video? My question to you is, does the woman in the video have any legal recourse in any of this? If she was either filmed against her consent, if the video was released against her consent, what are the laws in Minnesota?
Yeah, if she was filmed against her without knowing that she was being filmed, there is a possibility of criminal charges. Now, my guess is right now, the suspension that came down for the players probably has to do more with university policy. I mean, the university, I know, has a very strong social media policy. Certainly, they aren't going to let students be posting these kinds of videos on social media sites while they're, you know, attending the University of Minnesota. So, you know, there's probably going to face some discipline from the university, but the university is a public university, and as a result, I mean, it's an agency of the state of Minnesota, so it has to, you know, we have to worry about due process and things like that. So my guess is the university has undertaken an investigation. The suspension was just the typical preliminary thing you do to when allegations like this arise. If it is determined in that investigation that there may be criminal acts involved, it would be turned over to the county attorney and the police department.
So, Jeff, if indeed we go down the path of the story that I think came out last Thursday or Friday, that Kevin Dorsey said he was at the Mall of America and the phone was stolen, how does that change things in your mind if a third party got their hands on this phone and streamed that, as opposed to the player actually doing it himself a week ago Friday, as we thought originally?
Well, Judd, it may affect, in terms of what discipline they're facing, in terms of the video, the recording itself, that, you know, whether or not the phone, it was, you know, the phone was stolen and this video was posted online, really doesn't have anything to do, in my opinion, with the whether or not there's criminal charges. That comes down to, did they film this woman without her knowledge? Mm-hmm. In terms of any kind of discipline from the university for posting this online, they may have, you know, may have an argument there that may be part of their defense, but they also could, there may be some other policy they violated of the team or of the school just by actually making the video in the first place.
Yeah.
So, in other words, it may get them out of one count or one allegation, but it may not get them out of all the hot water they're in.
Yeah. Jeff, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Jeff.
No problem. Thanks,
great
guys.
Stuff.
All right, that's Jeff O'Brien, our buddy from Lohman Abdul Law Firm.
Interesting stuff.
Very well-versed on all of the sports legal topics in this town right now.